From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Potbread. On the most, this week, boys and girls, I've given up watching the news. It's like, watch the news, jump off a cliff with no parachute. My name's Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the Tatry Mountains, I could jump off mountains, over in the east side of Slovakia. It's beautiful and snowing and wonderful. And we've got some fun stuff as well as the boring stuff of the week. We do have a sideways look at the news with my two colleagues and co-presenters. First off, on the zit of the nose of Europe.
Well, it's me. Hello, everybody. It's me, fed up, broke, freezing cold, damp, handsome, debonair and cool. Ha ha.
Lee Banks, and co-founder
Thank you
of
very
the,
much.
And co-founder of the consumer action group Engay Paris, where we constantly complain about doggy doo-doos. Mark Gander.
Yes, I'm at the base of the zit of the centre of Europe, Engay Paris. But it's actually beautiful weather, very cold, but actually very, very beautiful weather, which is unfortunate because then the doggy doo-doos don't get washed off the pavements. Because, believe me, they produce dog's mess here in industrial quantities.
Is it saleable? Can we make a business out of it?
Well, you can. I'll tell you what, there is a business, isn't there, in doggy whatever he said?
Doo-doo.
Well, yeah, if you do this business, you would actually make some money. And I can't remember what it is, what you do with them. But you can sell them for burning. Burn them.
They do, don't
tell
they?
You what,
you're
ladies
right.
And gentlemen, yeah, go and chuck them on your fire. That'd be nice.
Smell a bit, though, wouldn't it?
I'll tell you, Daily Express,
Oh, here we
the
go.
The organ of all truth and honesty says that Britain's headed for a new ice age.
Really?
And I can tell you what, I can feel it coming in. But I tell you what.
It's a good film as well.
Thank you very much. Before we get started, let's say hi to the guys over at Talk Radio X and Replay Radio. You lovely folks on Audio Boo, of which I'm very proud of you because you're so far ahead. And a G20 report says you're miles ahead, or kilometres, depending on where you be. And the wonderful people listening on RTI FM Direct on the streams as well. So nice to have you all with us. Lee's going to start up the first bit of the programme because Mark and I have got a massive problem. We have no idea who he's talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe this. Ladies and gentlemen, I think they're making this up. Nobody could be so philistinic to not know who Etta James was and shall remain to be for posterity. She was one of the greatest soul star singers. Soul star, just a soul star. You don't have to mention singing. She was just also incredibly beautiful. She had a face that came straight off a council estate in Manchester, although she came from America. She was gorgeous. And now she's died. She's died, 73. Etta James. Oh,
what's
Etta,
one of her songs
come back
for me,
to
please?
Us.
It's quite young, though, isn't it? I mean, 73, it's a bit of a shame.
It is, particularly if, yeah, that's right. Particularly if you're creeping up towards it like you are. And, she sang all sorts of things like All Love. And then and that one that we all know, that song we all know, I Just Wanna Make Love to you, baby.
Was that her?
That was her. That was her.
Really? I don't want to make... She didn't sound like that before.
No, I'm sure she didn't. Anyway, the Best of Etta Rose, a compilation after her death, jumped rapidly from number 162 in the Billboard charts up to 46.
I know, it's incredible. It's like your grandmother, isn't it? You ignore your grandmother till the day she dies, then you tell everybody how much you love her. Well, everybody ignored Etta James for the last 20 years, which is why nobody knows who she is. And now, all of a sudden, everybody wants a record. Well, why didn't you make a dotage comfortable, ladies and gentlemen, and buy them when she was alive?
Well, hang on a minute, then. So if the three of us do a re-recording of...
Just wanna make.
No, that wouldn't work. Let's try Child in Time by Deep Purple or something sensible and released it. We then kill ourselves the next day. It'll be a hit.
It probably would.
Now, what a good idea that is. I'll tell you what, I have known you for a long, long time, and I've always respected you, haven't I, Eric? And sometimes you've helped me out with problems, but I have never, ever known you come up with such a good idea. Let's do it. Right. We could do it on air, live on air, dead okay. live on air.
So we go, down, down, down,
you first.
Down, 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 down. Get out of it. Next up on the gone list is a gentleman called Nicole, or is it a lady called Nicole? Nicole?
No,
Nicole.
No.
Oh,
shit.
No, it was a he.
Was it a he?
How would he have played Merlin in Excalibur if he was a woman?
Would it be an
Well, it's because I live in Slovakia and my eyes say Nicola.
But, well, that's because... I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I also have to say, while he's talking about his eyes, I only have one earphone at the moment because the other one's broken, so I'm only hearing half this show.
Yeah. Well, me too. I can only hear you in one ear as well. That's amazing. Yeah.
So, well, that's your age because you're nearly 73.
Oh, right. No, okay.
Actually, that's because he knows how to do things properly because he's worked out, unlike you, that human beings have one mouth, not two. So why
yeah,
would
two
you,
faces.
Why would you, yeah, you are. So why would you want a talk radio program in stereo? We've only got one mouth.
Yeah, I'll
two people
that.
Speaking. I mean, they're coming from each side, aren't they?
No.
No,
they're not.
They are. R2.
R3. Or D2. Anyway.
Can we talk about this poor chap, Nicole Williams? Nicole
yes.
Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody who's got any intelligence knows who Nicole Williamson was. He was one of Britain's greatest actors. Playwright John Osborne once called him the greatest actor since Marlon Brando. And he was. He was gorgeous looking. He was sexy. He was virile. He had drama. He had all sorts of charismas that most people don't have. And you know what? He's died as well, age 75. And he didn't die well. He died of a very serious illness. It must have been awful for him. And the only thing that the press, unless this is one time that I am hammering the press, right, have been able to pick up on is a 1981 film of Excalibur where he played Merlin. Well, he made all sorts of things beyond that. He became a stage actor who's one of Britain's best actors ever. And he's gone as well now.
Oh, well. Something I nearly know about because...
Quarantino?
No, Dynasty.
Oh. Dynasty, yeah. I've got a teapot in that style. Actor James Farentino, he appeared in all sorts of Dynasty editions and things like that. He was quite famous. He made films like Me, Natalie. He was in films with Kirk Douglas, Martin Sheen. You remember the film? This one will suit you, Eric.
What?
The Final Countdown.
It's the Final Countdown.
And yes, we had seen that.
That's all I know about it.
Well, anyway, he was in that, and unfortunately, it is sad. He was 73 as well. What's
this
that?
Is
what's
quite
that
an unlucky number, really. I mean,
yeah, 73 is not a good number.
Yeah, 73 is
you either peg out at 27, like Amy Winehouse and Janis Joplin and the rest, or
exactly.
Make it to 73 and then you...
Aretha Franklin's called off plans to marry in the summer because her fiancé's not happy about it all.
I know, I think that's good, yeah. Real gone wedding love at 69, eh? I tell you what. Mm. Good on you, Rita, for calling off your man. She says they're not ready yet, and so they'll wait a bit. How long are you going to wait? Don't wait till you're 73, Rita.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Could be a short marriage. And now, this is a message for gentlemen around the world.
Oh, no.
Before we start the news, because it's depressing. if you've ever, and I've got to say, this is the most brilliant marketing campaign from Johnson & Johnson that I've seen, and it is going viral on the web as we speak.
The baby oil people.
They do that. They do cleaners. They do all sorts of things, Johnson & Johnson. And we'll give you the details of the site on our Scribd page as well. But it's www.obtampons.com. Dot
oh my
CA,
goodness.
Yes. Dot slash apology.
Yeah.
Yes. What was that car coming from? Anyway.
I don't think it was a car.
Not sure. Anyway, you go over to this site, which we'll leave as a link on the page, and you put your partner's name in there. Bless her.
I've done it.
And what's it like?
It's brilliant. I'll tell you what, because it's one of those things. I did, ladies and gentlemen, I did use this yesterday. And it does work. It's good because Andrea and I were having one of those sort of nice moments, you know, where you're having a little cuddle and everything's nice and friendly and you're loving each other and you're doing little pecks on the cheeks and things like that. That's the budgie, actually. But, you know, sorry. And Andrea just turns to me and she says, you know, a small penis shouldn't affect our sex life. And I said to her, look, and it was only joking. I just said, I know, love, but I'd prefer it if you didn't have one. And then,
no.
Yeah.
No.
And I had to apologise, so I did this thing.
Yes. He got it in somehow. Ho, ho. Anyway, boys, it's a brilliant site. You put your partner's name in there, and it plays you something brilliant, and the video that goes with it is astonishing. So this is the male get out of jail card with your partner, and we will put this everywhere we can. It is very, very clever, and probably, as I said, one of the best marketing campaigns I've seen in absolutely ages. Moving along, and no connection, Rebecca Brooks.
Well, there you have it. Oh, you what? I think this is a nice story. It's one of those good news stories. Poor old Rebecca. Everybody thought she'd be having kittens about the fact that the News of the World devised and she was in loads of trouble. Well, good on you, Rebecca. She's had a baby and her husband, and the baby's doing well. She's doing well. Everybody's doing well. Good on you.
Right. So that was
how did you find out? You by accessing her voicemail. Is that how you found out about it or something?
Not a voicemail, no.
Oh, right. Okay.
He accessed something that.
Yes. Okay.
I'm sure the blood pressure's going to raise in a moment when we talk about a gentleman called Stephen Hester from the Royal Bank of Scotland, who's got himself a £963,000 bonus. Oh,
yes.
Dear. What a PR disaster.
It is a PR disaster, and do they care? No, they don't. Sir Stephen Hester. He's not Sir yet, but he will be soon. as soon as Sir Fred Goodwin is probably... In fact, they're probably going to pass it on. Here's my knighthood, pass it on.
Yeah.
Who's become head of the RBS, the CEO of the RBS, the Royal Bank of Scotland, which, of course, is owned by the British taxpayer to the tune of 83%. When everybody's got their face in the dirt, everybody's suffering the most extraordinary, mainly bank-caused economic problems, when the huge number of the poorer customers of the RBS are really suffering, even at the hands of the RBS, and yet the RBS vote to give him this horrendous bonus of nearly £1 million.
I've got a question for you.
It is in shares. It is in shares. It's not
so
cash.
If the government's got 83% of the shares,
yeah,
can't they call an extraordinary general meeting and go, sod off, mate, you're not having it?
Yeah, but think about how cynical this is. It's the government who said that, and they said you cannot give him more than £1 million. So they didn't. They gave him 963. Mm. But do you realise, quite honestly, the truth is that if the shares go up by one penny, he will have in far excess of £1 million.
Yeah.
It's a cynical move on both the banks and the government side.
And let me say, and he's got more pension-related benefits to come anyway, because there's a load more that nobody's even started talking about. And the government, I mean, the real scandal about this is that what's being said on the press is that the government eventually allowed this. Okay, maybe they could have stopped it, although they don't like to interfere at that level, but they could have stopped it, but they were frightened that Stephen Hester was going to leave.
Yeah,
so they
jump
even had the bottle to face him out. I mean, this is amazing from Cameron, who's been addressing the bankers' party in Davos in Switzerland, and basically been saying that everybody's got to be bolder and Europe has got to be bolder about dealing with these economic problems. Where is he being bold when dealing with the banks' board of directors?
Can I ask a question? Because I genuinely don't know the answer. What is the sort of de facto standard of somebody doing a job like him in a non-government bank?
Well, quite a lot. I mean, I have to say that the bonus, I suppose, is low by normal standards. I mean, apparently last year... The bonus was twice that, so he's had his bonus cut by half. But on the other hand, the bank's in trouble and the economy's in trouble. And fine, you know, if we're really talking about being rewarded according to results, he hasn't given the results yet. So what's he doing getting this kind of money? And a lot of people are saying that Hester ought to stand up and become a hero, which I think he could be, if he said, no, I'm not going to take it because this is not the time.
Talking about heroes, let's bear in mind that in 3 days he earns more than one of our soldiers out in Afghanistan earns in a year.
I agree with that,
but the point I'm making is that there are times when you have to look at what an industry standard is and pay accordingly.
Well, they're saying that Bob Diamond, who's the head of Barclays, who incidentally quite recently was saying it's about time the bank started practicing some citizenship, but we haven't seen any of that.
Ho, ho, ho.
Mm-hmm. And they are saying that Diamond will be looking at something like a £10 million bonus. But of course, that's not a government-owned bank, exactly what you're saying. So you could say that Hester's getting very low. But on the other hand, we are the owners. And the people who are the owners of the bank, because of the fact that they're citizens, taxpayers and citizens, you know, they are the people who just don't have the money, and it seems extraordinarily unfair.
There is one other factor. There is one other factor, Mark. If you or any, all three of us were running a business as a standalone item, and we weren't making a profit, how on earth would we be paying ourselves £1 million in bonuses?
Well, exactly right. Exactly right.
Bear in mind, he also has a salary of 1.2 million, puts him on over 2 million a year for doing nothing.
Absolutely.
Or are the government just trying to get it back in tax?
I'm
sure he's got it all figured out as far as the taxes.
He's a banker and he's got it all figured out.
Yeah,
very good.
But they've not been paying out cash bonuses of £2,000 a year because they're in such dire straits and everybody else gets £2,000. He gets this. It's ridiculous.
Anyway, moving along, it is ridiculous. I quite agree with you. The web economy in the G20 is set to double, according to research, by 2016. And here I have to take my hat off to you, compliment every last one of you that are listening via your mobile phone or smartphone, because apparently in 2016, you will have been ahead for years, because they reckon that 80% of all internet users will access the web from a mobile in 2016. And think how clever you are, because you're doing it today.
Yeah. Very clever, very clever indeed. I'd also like to say just something which is slightly sort of attached to this subject, but it's quite interesting that the Daily Mail site, the Daily Mail in the UK, the paper that most people rip apart for its shallowness and everything else, but one that I quite admire because of its punch, its website has eclipsed even the New York Times website.
Has that got something to do with subscription, though?
No, it's not a subscription website.
No, it's not.
I thought the New York Times was now.
Would
you like me to Google it and find out for you?
You go and Google it, mate. Yeah. There'll be a Markle on the chat.
Yeah, thank you very much.
When you think the economy of the internet is now, what, 2.5 trillion or something like that?
Yeah, and it's going to be bigger.
Why don't we put Britain on the internet? Why don't we become an internet country? That's all we operate on. Well, because we already owe 1 trillion.
That's what people are saying. The problem is with a lot of countries, and the UK is not that dissimilar, although the research suggests that the UK is one of the most advanced e-commerce economies, is that there are still so many people who say, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. No, never catch on, you know. And the trouble is, it's like so many things in England. Think about the hovercraft. GB.
Right, I'm thinking about the hovercraft, Mark.
Right, GB invention.
Never stop.
GB invention. Who's got it now?
It's nothing but a lot of hot air.
Ha ha. And if you think about it, the internet was first dreamt up by a little old British telecom engineer in 1973.
Was it?
It was British Telecom Just. It wasn't the GPO then.
Oh, right. Okay.
And he actually got 10 shillings for his idea.
Well, he should have put it on eBay.
50 pence. 25 cents for his idea. And literally, the idea was then taken up. And GB will start again. I'm telling GB to wake up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wake up, Britain. Stop messing people about.
Yes.
Get your finger out and get on the world and make some money.
Absolutely. Anyway, Facebook has attracted media panic yet again. Oh, dear.
I don't think it is media panic. I don't think it is media panic at all. You know, Facebook are now going to arbitrarily reveal the secrets of your life. You at the beginning we made a mistake early on. I'd made the same mistake 5 years ago of putting parts of my private life on Facebook. Mm. Now Facebook are going to display it to the world, and I have no real say. I've got 7 days to source it out if I want.
No,
to.
No, you haven't.
Yes,
because Facebook announced this and gave it a. In fact, we mentioned it on this program before Christmas.
Yeah.
We right. did. We okay. mentioned
you should listen to the show, Mark.
Very good.
You know what's happening, yeah.
We mentioned what is known as timelines, and yeah, I also advise people at the same time to make sure they tick the little boxes when it comes up on there, because I had been beta testing timelines from the first time it came out, which was months and months ago, so that I could share the news here. So my question is this.
What?
How come, if little Eric, sitting in Poprad, can find out that timelines are coming out, accept the offer to beta test it, why can't media moguls in their big ivory towers do the same thing?
Well, what is the benefit to it?
Because they can share with their readers how to do stuff. And if that's the question you're asking me, or if you're asking me what's the benefit of timeline as a concept.
What's the benefit to the general hoi polloi who've been stupid enough to put parts of their life on the internet? How does it benefit the people?
It just makes it easier to work.
Which is ludicrous.
The problem is, it's just easier to work with. And it's much tidier as well, Lee.
I've got to be honest. I'm a bit ambiguous about this, because there is something that struck me this week while I was thinking about this. You do realise, and I mean this generally to not just you and Mark, I mean generally to the world, that we actually invade our own privacy every few minutes of every day by going on Facebook. And things like that. And now Facebook are actually capitalising on that innocence and naivety that caused us to do that. Mm. And the other thing that really upsets me is this thing about O2, who've become snouts for the police.
Well, hang on a minute. We'll get to that story in a minute.
Yeah,
that's another story. But in all seriousness, I'll just recap for anybody listening at the moment. If you haven't swapped a timeline, you will have to, because you don't pay for Facebook. It's their software. They own it. It's their site. They can do what the hell they like with it. But I would suggest to you, you spend a couple of minutes just to make sure that stuff that's on there you want exposed to the big wide world.
Are you able to take it off?
No, you can just make it private.
All right. Okay.
What do you got to
but
do?
Is this timeline thing, is it bad? I mean, I've seen
no,
it coming up.
I think it's bad.
It's really cool to use. It's much more logical. In actual fact, it gives it much more of a blog feel to the page. And equally, you can decide, when you put something onto Facebook now, which was more complicated before, it says to you, what do you want to do? So you can either leave it public, or you can just keep it for your family, because you've got a family option on there. You can have it to your limited friends, or maybe not to the limited friends. It's whatever you want. So actually, it's making it more flexible than it was before. So you can decide whether photos, posts, live events, or whatever, if you want to advertise those to the world, tickety-boo, wonderful. If you don't, you don't.
All right. You know how we do a top tip for the listeners every now and again?
Well, I was going to give you the final one I was going to say, Lee.
Go on, sorry, yeah.
If you don't like what Facebook and timeline is, don't go there. Simple as that. Oh,
that's right. But I have a use for Facebook, which doesn't particularly involve any more me sharing pictures and things like that. Mm-hmm. It just involves me doing things, or putting things on Facebook that I think are worthwhile, and I should be allowed to continue to do that without having my soul exposed to people who I don't really know.
Just tick a box, and your soul won't be exposed. It's as simple as that. Can I? Yeah, and that's it. We have got to watch out because we're getting to the end of part one, and we've got to include Google in this as well, which I notice hasn't been picked up by a lot of people. Facebook has been criticised for a very long time for enabling young kids or teenagers to go on Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg said, well, actually, that's the most sensible thing you can do, because if you teach them how to use it properly, then they won't get into trouble. Mm. And Google Plus has now announced it's opening up its service to 13-year-olds. And my opinion is they're only doing it to try and catch up with Facebook because they're not growing. And yet nobody has jumped on Google and gone, oh, look, it's a paedophile's mandate or whatever. And yet Facebook gets lambasted. It's reminding me of Murdoch versus the BBC almost.
Well, I can't agree with that. There is something I do want to say, and I mean this quite seriously. I know I say things like this quite a lot, but I do really want to say this because I do think this is true. Mm-hmm. Most people are going to realise that although the internet is in its infancy, right?
Of course.
Really, although it's been around 40 years, like Eric says, because of this bloke who got 50p for it. Mm-hmm. But it's like it is in its infancy. And quite honestly, as much as I say this in a joke normally, I mean this quite really. Quite honestly, it's disease-ridden with viruses. It's a playground for criminals and con men. It offers you a plethora of imaginary friends. It sees sex as a tableau of pornographic images, and it's a marketplace for cheap and dangerous drugs. It's an awful
rubbish
thing the way it is.
Well, absolutely. It's just a parallel to the real world, then, isn't it? There's not a lot of difference. Let's face it.
Yeah, exactly.
But
well,
let me
some privacy in the
let
real
me,
world.
Let me put my base training hat on now. It's public knowledge that many years ago there were places where one telephone could communicate with another, and the really bad people that you're talking about could put bad sexual images onto a sort of old-fashioned computer and enable other people to dial in and download those images.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the fact was, you could to try and trace one of those is a nightmare.
Yeah.
An absolute nightmare, because it was from one telephone point to another telephone point. It was direct. Unless you're sitting in the middle of that connection point, it's very difficult to find out who's doing what. And if they chose to do it from a public phone box, you're stuffed, absolutely
That's right.
screwed. Whereas the police, at least they've got a fighting chance with areas like social media to actually go on there and say, hello, I'm your friend, and catch people. And they have been doing it unbelievably well and stopping these organisations, because they, and I'm not going to tell them how to fix the problem, these organisations don't know how to do things on the internet. So in actual fact, the internet can be quite easily headlined as helping the police and everybody else.
Yeah, but to do that is this insidiously utopian world. It's something that is really bad, because what we've had to do for that is give up our right to privacy.
So you're telling me that's not right if we've got bad people doing drugs and porno pictures on there? If we give up a little bit, which we can still control, that's a bad thing compared to just letting them get on with it.
Well, I'm happy to give up privacy if it's going to protect children.
I think
the real question here is that, you know, you say, well, it's good for sort of detection of crime, and particularly that kind of crime, and that's probably absolutely true. I think the question has to be asked, though, has it provided more opportunities for that crime?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's provided more opportunities for that crime, and despite the new detection techniques, the amount of crime is increasing because of the technology.
I would agree with you. There we're in part one of Postcard from Pop for this week. We'll be coming back with Lee's O2 scandal in the not too many seconds, and we're also looking at a trillion reasons to escape Britain.
Never.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.